Exodus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. This broadcast is a ministry of Mount Lebanon. We always take a few moments to invite you to come out if you are in the listening area or you are visiting in the high country. It always amazes me throughout the year how many visitors we have, that many have heard us on the radio, and they're visiting in or around Boone and looking for somewhere to go to church on Sundays, and so they'll stop in. And we've had visitors on Wednesday night, so we appreciate that, and we want you to know our doors are always open. We have a lot of information on our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. Sunday school every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and then Sunday mornings at 11. We have Sunday school for all ages, and so lots of opportunities to come out and be with us. You can find out more about that on the church website. So we wanted to take a moment to do that and also welcome all of our listeners on the different radio stations. We are also on Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 690 a.m. Bristol, Virginia, and then Saturday mornings at 12 on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth. This radio station, or that radio station, is a ministry of the Harvest Baptist Church, and we were blessed to have Brother Lamar Whittemore. He is the pastor at Harvest, and he was with us last Sunday morning, and we just had a great time in the Lord and a great message from God's Word, and they're certainly doing a great work out in Watertown, South Dakota. If you are a pastor or a church looking for a good missionary to support, I could highly recommend Brother Lamar Whittemore and his wife and the work that they're doing there in the Great Plains area of our nation. And so our prayers are with them. And then also right here on AM 1450 WATA, our home station, and we appreciate you listening in today. Here's something interesting to think about. Maybe you noticed that your taxes, usually due on April the 15th, that was postponed until the 18th. And the 18th, yesterday, also was celebrated up in Massachusetts, Maine. This is something that has really been more celebrated since 9/11 and since the Boston Marathon, the bombings a few years ago. But for years and years up in those areas, they have celebrated April 19th as Patriot Day, commemorating the battles of Lexington and Concord and the shot heard round the world. And another thing to think about, the reason that your taxes weren't due on the 15th, but the 18th, or the Monday, was because in Washington, D.C., they celebrate a holiday that I really didn't know was celebrated. But in Washington, they celebrate Emancipation Day in commemoration of the Emancipation Proclamation by Abraham Lincoln. And I thought it was ironic that these three events all happen on the same weekend. You have Patriot Day, you have Emancipation Day, and you have Tax Day. And you know, have you ever played that little game as a kid? One of these things is not like the other. Patriot Day and Tax Day. And what did they, one of the main contentions of the American Revolutionary War was excessive taxes. And so I just thought that was ironic, and I hadn't heard anybody talk about it or mention it, so I thought I'd give that to you today to think about. But we want to move on. I've been in a series on the subject of heroes of prayer, and I have really been getting a blessing out of this in my personal life, and I'll be the first to admit or confess that I need to pray more. I need to practice what I preach. And but I recognize the fact, and I'm trying in my personal life to be more what I ought to be along the lines of prayer. And so this has helped me. And I've heard other people say that it's been a blessing to them and a help to them. And I appreciate that very much. I hope it's a help to you. Last week, we looked at the prophet Elijah. And you'll remember over there in the Old Testament, if you didn't get to listen in last week, but Elijah He's sometimes referred to as the prophet of fire. And in 1 Kings chapter number 18, Elijah, he challenged the prophets of Baal, or the false prophets of Baal, to a prayer contest. And it went sort of like this. He said, the God that answers from heaven by fire, let him be the true God. And so they had a little prayer contest. And the prophets of Baal went first, and they prayed for half the day or longer. And they cried, and they cut themselves, and they screamed, and they hollered, and all day long. And their God never answered by fire. And then when it came Elijah's turn, he poured water upon the altar of sacrifice to the point that it ran out the trough at the bottom, ran out the trench at the bottom. And then he prayed a little 63-word prayer, and the God of heaven answered by fire. And the Bible says that the fire from heaven licked up the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and all the water in the trench round about. I mean, God answered from heaven by fire. And so Elijah, when you think about him, you might think about a Superman of prayer. I mean, I've heard of some great answers to prayer, but nothing along those lines. Well, you can read about that in your Bible in 1 Kings chapter number 18. Now, today we're going to go over to the New Testament, and I'm going to read just a few verses out of the book of James. And in the book of James, we find again the prayer life of Elijah being mentioned. Not only is he famous for the praying fire down from heaven, but his prayers reach to the weather. And the Bible says over here in verse 17, James chapter 5, verse 17, Elias, and that's a New Testament transliteration of Elijah. It's talking about the same person, though. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. My, what a prayer life we read about, and what power that Elijah had in prayer. Now, there's two things about Elijah that I want to mention before we go on. You might think to yourself, could I pray like Elijah prayed? Could I pray and have my prayers answered like Elijah did? Well, it says in verse number 17, and this is an encouragement to me. It said, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And what that tells us is that Elijah was just a regular person, just like we are. He was subject to like passions. When he was weak, he had to go to sleep. When he was hungry, he had to eat. When he was provoked, he got angry. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. Sometimes we talk about somebody, well, they put their pants on one leg at a time just like everybody else. Or we might say, well, they're made out of the same stuff that we are. And so Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But now, back in verse number 16, the last part of that verse is a very interesting verse. And it is comparing Elijah's prayer life to what we might say our prayer lives. And it says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so the verse leading up to this passage of Scripture about Elijah's prayer life, it lets us know the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so the emphasis is placed upon there of fervency in our prayers and righteousness being a basis for our prayer life and prayers to be answered. And I mentioned this last week that what I was leading up to or into was a study about the life of George Washington. The life of George Washington, the first president of the United States, the first commander-in-chief of the Continental Army or the American Army during the American Revolution. That's what we're talking about, or who I want to talk about today. because on this series we've been doing 1 week in the Bible and 1 week in history, taking an example from history. So today we're going to look at George Washington. And if you begin to study, or if you have ever studied the life of George Washington, you know that there are volumes and volumes of books and pages that have been written concerning the life of George Washington. Most people, though, in America today probably know very little about George Washington, past being on the $1 bill. You know, if you ask a lot of people what they knew about him, they might refer to that. Well, a Washington, it's on the dollar bill. I thought about this. Why didn't they put him on a 20 or a 50 or a $100 bill, as important as he is? But I think it's right that he's on the $1 bill, because the number one is foundational to all the rest. It's the primary number. You have to have one. And so without him, I don't think we'd have all the rest. And so I think it's fitting that he is on the $1 bill. But I'll tell you, there's a whole lot more to the life of George Washington than just being on a $1 bill. George Washington died December the 14th, 1799. And within 2 months, by February the 22nd, the year 1800, there were more than 323 funeral or memorial orations given throughout the whole country. I don't believe there's ever been a president that was as beloved as George Washington was. Of course, we're a long ways removed. We're over 200 years removed from the life of George Washington. So the farther away from that we get, the harder it is to appreciate the impact and the influence that George Washington had upon this country. You would have to go back and study history. We don't know anybody that lived in that time period. And unless it's taught, unless it's studied, unless it's dug out of history, we will forget and we will not appreciate the heritage that we have in America. But it's interesting to me that there were over 300 memorials for George Washington. I don't think there's anybody in America today that would command over 300 different memorials if they were to die. And that took place over 2 months. I mean, they only mourned for Moses for 30 days, if you read about that in Exodus chapter number 34. But over two months, they had memorials and they had speeches about George Washington after he had passed away. Now, there's three things, and I had to condense this a great deal, and I still don't think I'll get done with everything that I'd like to share with you today. But there's three things I'm going to give you about the life of George Washington, and the banner that I want to put over all of it is that verse in James chapter 5, verse number 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Talking about the prayer life of George Washington. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at his religion, his reliance upon what he referred to thousands of times as divine providence, talking about the Lord, and then his righteousness. And I thought to myself, what if we measured our presidential candidates today by the same standard? Their religion, their reliance upon the Lord, and their righteousness. I don't know. You'd have to look a long ways to find somebody that would come close to the life of George Washington. First of all, we're going to see his religion. Now, George Washington, when we talk about him, he was the first general of the Continental Army, the Army of America. He was the first commander-in-chief of the Army. He was the first president of the United States, served two terms, and they wanted him to serve a third, but he flat out refused, saying that, you know, we just got rid of a king, and you're trying to, and I'm paraphrasing this a long way, but he's saying, you know, we don't want to get rid of one king and establish another. He believed that the president ought to rotate out, you know, that there ought to be a limited terms. But he was the first and the second, and then he resigned wouldn't do it again. He was the man that was overwhelmingly chosen to preside over the Constitutional Convention that gave us our United States Constitution. He was the one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He assured people that different churches and people that wrote to him that there would be a Bill of Rights added to the Constitution. In fact, I was reading a letter this morning. He wrote several letters to several different church associations that concerning that very thing of religious liberty. He was very much in favor of religious liberty. He is known as the father of his country. George Washington is known as the father of his country. But here's the interesting thing about that. The first general, the first president, the president of the Constitutional Convention, signer of the Declaration of Independence, father of his country, was without a doubt a devoted Christian. And there are, he wrote thousands of letters. He was a very prolific writer. And if you read through his writings over and over and over again, and here's the thing about the writings of George Washington, the more you know the writing of the Bible, the more you can see how much he referred to it in his writings. And it wasn't only George Washington that wrote that way, but I've noticed many others, Patrick Henry, even Benjamin Franklin, their writings were full of references to the Bible. Now, they may not put, C.F. John 3:16, but the language, the way they wrote, the references that they made, full, absolutely full of references to the Bible and to the Lord. Now, I'm just going to have time to give just a few examples of George Washington and how he felt about Christianity. This is in a circular letter to the states. So he wrote a letter, and it was to go to all the states, June 8, 1783. And he said that he would most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, without an humble imitation of whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Now, these writers from 200 years ago, they were a little wordy. They were sort of flowery in the way that they talk. And it's hard for us in our modern language, you know, what was he saying? What was he talking about there? If you read that and you meditate upon what he was saying, and can you imagine a president today writing a letter to the different states to go to all the governors that is encouraging them? And here's what he's saying in this little paragraph. He's saying we need to be more like Jesus. And if we're not more like him, we have no hope to be happy. That is what that means, that he would graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. He's talking there about Jesus Christ, that we'd be more like him. Without an humble imitation of whose example in these things, unless we imitate him in his example, that's what that means, we can never hope to be a happy nation. And so the president writes to all the states and says, if we want to be happy, we need to be more like Jesus. Well, you never hear anything like that today. It's just so far from our minds. But George Washington was a devoted Christian. I have a book at home. Well, it's actually out of our church library at church, but it's written by Miss Verna M. Hall. And she compiled a history of George Washington and his writings and what people wrote about him. It's a huge book. It's bigger than a big phone book. And it would take me a long time to read the whole book, but I've been studying in that book. And what I like about it is it's not just her opinion, but it is his letters. A lot of it is made up from his writings, or the majority of it. And in that book, she said this about George Washington. She said, George Washington is unique, but not unique from his times. He is the natural product of a Bible-believing people. And so his writings and the writings from that time period are full of references to the Scripture And I just have a list here, some things. If you read the writings of George Washington, you'll find that his writings are full of references to the Bible. They are full of references to the what they called at that time divine service, which we would say going to church. And something interesting about George Washington, he would write down wherever he was, he would try to go to church. And it didn't matter. Now, he was brought up an Episcopalian, but he went to church wherever it was available, wherever he was. He went to all the different, he didn't say, I'm not going over there, but he would go to church with the Baptist. He would go to church with the Presbyterians, the Methodist, and it didn't bother him. But, pardon me, one of the things about George Washington is he wanted his soldiers to have divine service available to him. And he was one of the primary ones to make sure that chaplains were made available during the American Revolutionary War. And he wanted a chaplain with every regiment. That is one, and he wanted them to be paid. And if you read in his writings, he said some things about them, men of good character. I mean, they had some qualifications that they had to live up to. But his writings are full of references to divine service and where he went to church and who he went to church with. His writings are full of references to days of fasting, to setting aside days of thanksgiving, the use of chaplains and how beneficial that was to the soldiers, and probably more than anything, the providence of God. He referred to that over and over and over again, talking about the providence of God. And so his religion, just a few things about that. Second of all, his reliance, and this is just leading right along, talking about how much he talked about the providence of God. And he talked about the blessing of heaven, talking about the Lord blessing them and what they were doing. In a letter to Brigadier General Thomas Nelson, he said this, "The hand of providence has been so conspicuous in all this." Now he's talking about the war. "The hand of providence has been so conspicuous in all this that he must be worse than an infidel that lacks faith and more than wicked that has not gratitude enough to acknowledge his obligations. But it will be time enough for me to turn preacher when my present appointment ceases, and therefore I shall add no more on the doctrine of providence." And I mean, it didn't matter who he was writing to, whether it was a personal letter, whether it was a letter from the general, or whether it was a letter from the president, he was not ashamed to refer to the blessings of Almighty God, to the hand of providence in their lives. And he had many times where he made proclamations of thanksgiving that they were going to thank the Lord for what he had done for them. And on we could go and give many, many examples. But he relied on and he believed in the providence or the hand of God in his affairs. He wrote a letter to George William Fairfax, and he said, "I unite my prayers most fervently with yours for wisdom to these United States." Now, remember our verse at the beginning, James chapter 5, verse 16, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And so he said, "I unite my prayers most fervently with yours." A fervent prayer is a Bible reference. I mean, you just can't read long in any of his writings and not find a reference to Scripture or the Bible. I guess one of the most famous pictures, I guess would be a good way to put it, they call it a relief sometimes, but of George Washington, is George Washington kneeling in the woods at Valley Forge. And it's talking about the George Washington praying at Valley Forge. He was known as a man of prayer. That is a very famous picture of George Washington that maybe you're familiar with. But it was his custom, they said, during the winter at Valley Forge. And one of the things about the faith of George Washington was that the Americans, the colonists, they won against Britain against all odds. I mean, the army had short enlistments. The men at Valley Forge, they could have went home. Their enlistment was up. Congress was very slow. I'll tell you, some things in government have not changed. Congress wouldn't supply the troops with what they needed. They're out there starving. They're out there. They don't have shoes for their feet at Valley Forge. I mean, they're in the middle of wintertime. They have no barracks. I mean, they are just, walking around blood on the snow where their footprints were. Terrible, terrible conditions. They shouldn't have won against Britain. They were outnumbered, outsupplied, outgunned, outtrained, I mean, over and over. But George Washington, if you read about him, his faith never wavered. And they said at Valley Forge that it was his custom to go into what they called the Forest of Seclusion. And he would go into the woods and he would pray. He was a man of prayer. He relied upon the Lord. So we think about his religion. He was a devout Christian. His reliance. He had great faith in God. And he prayed. And number three, his righteousness. James chapter 5, verse number 16 said, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man," righteous meaning a godly person, "availeth much." And if you study about the life of George Washington, you cannot read anything hardly about the life of George Washington. Now, I don't want to get off the subject, but of course there were those that didn't like him, and they tried to besmirch his character and all those things. But you read and study about the life of George Washington, and it won't be long you will be reading about his character and his influence. He had an impeccable character. He was a gentleman's gentleman, and he believed that not only for his own self, but for his chaplains that were appointed, his officers, his soldiers, his country. He encouraged righteousness, and he discouraged wickedness. Even as a president of the United States, just some examples I can give you quickly before time is gone. In a letter concerning the appointment of chaplains, he said this: "The general," I like how he's referring to himself there, "the general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor so to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country." If we had a president today that said something like that, half the country, they'd just blow their top over that. But he said, "I hope that every officer and man will conduct and live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country." He wasn't ashamed to talk about the things of the Lord. He went on and he said this: "That the troops may have an opportunity of attending public worship." He made sure that they, if they could, that they would have an opportunity to go to church and have an opportunity to rest. I'm going to have to go on down. My time's about gone. He said, "The general is sorry to be informed that the foolish and wicked practice of profane cursing and swearing is growing into fashion." He said, "Officers by example and influence ought to check it." He said, "We can have little hopes of the blessing of heaven on our arms if we insult it by our impiety and folly. It is a vice so mean and low that every man of sense and character detests and despises it." And I read several times where George Washington, he discouraged swearing and profanity. He outlawed gambling. He would not have gambling among his troops. He said, "Many a fine officer has fallen through gambling, drunkenness." I mean, you think sometimes the preacher is rough. Boy, George Washington, he was rough on everything. And he wouldn't allow them. He said, we cannot hope to have the blessing of heaven if we offend heaven by our actions, by our words. So his righteousness, he lived it. He expected in those that served him and served with him. He's a great, great man. I am thankful that we have somebody like that we can refer to as being the father of our country. So prayer life. James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." What a blessing. I hope it's been a help to you, and we appreciate you listening in. Our time is quickly coming gone today. This has been the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and we appreciate you listening. I hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.